And this lesson will go along with this morning's lesson. Isaiah 58. And we're going to be on verse 3. It says, "Wherefore have we fasted, they say, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast ye find pleasure, and exact all your labors. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fists of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast as I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord?" Let's go ahead and pray. We'll talk about the power of proclaiming a fast, the power of proclaiming a fast. Father, thank you for the chance to teach your word, and I pray you'd give us clarity of mind, fullness of spirit, wisdom, Lord. We pray that you'd do a work this morning. We need you, Lord, and we need you to help us, Father. We pray you'd help us, Lord, in a great way, and do a mighty work, Lord, and give us clarity of mind, give us focus. Lord, give us your Spirit's power, Lord. May he teach us and lead us and guide us, and may we understand the truth of your word and be led into practical teaching out of the Bible that can change our lives, Father. We need to know about fasting, and to help us to know just some teaching in this limited time we have about fasting and what your word says about it. In Jesus' name, amen. All righty. So first of all, we're talking about fasting today. Fasting is going without. Generally, but not certainly not always, in the Bible, fasting is about food and water and drink, but it's not always about that. In this passage, Israel is a very mixed nation. It was a half spiritual, half worldly nation. They continued to keep up the sacrifices, and they continued to say they followed the Lord and continued to do spiritual exercises. But there was no blessing and no hand upon them, and God said to them in Isaiah, as a matter of fact, in the start of the book, he says, "Why are you continuing to sacrifice me? Who asked you to sacrifice to me?" One of the things in the Bible that God says, it doesn't necessarily make sense in our minds, but you just remember, God does not think like us, is God says, "Why I have no pleasure at all," and this is the word you use, "I have no pleasure in what you do for me if you are in with another thing." He says, the best way to illustrate it, well, James 4:4, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore is a friend of the world is the enemy of God." Luke 11:23, "He that is not with me is against me." God is a jealous God. And if you say, "Well, I like these idols over here and I like the Lord," God does not say he likes that any more than a woman. If a man said, "You know what, I like you and I like you just as much as I like this other woman," the woman's not going to say, "That's great, as long as you like me too." It doesn't work that way, and the Lord doesn't work that way. And the amazing thing is, I think when Jesus comes back, or when everybody dies, this generation of American Christians who think that prosperity and money and all those things is the thing, and they're serving God, are going to get to heaven, and God said, "You were an adulterer, and I was not pleased with anything you did, because you're half in, half out, and worshiping another God. You cannot serve God and mammon. It's impossible. God doesn't let you." And so they were doing their spiritual exercises, and the Lord was not happy with those because they're worshiping Baal. They're worshiping Molech. They were doing false gods. They were bowing down to false gods and then going to the temple and saying, "We're worshiping God." And God said, I none of this. If Molech's God, serve Molech. If I'm God, serve me. But I will not accept you worshiping false gods and coming to me and saying, I worship the Lord. If you worship me, you worship me with all your heart. With all your heart. And just like any human would want that in an intimate relationship, they don't want to just be one of many. And God says, "Those are false gods. You're worshiping demons, and you want to come to me and still say I'm pleased with you and you're right with me." It's not like that. And so one of the things they were doing was they were fasting, but most everything they did that was supposed to be spiritual, they were doing for the wrong reasons, and they're doing in wrong motivation. And so they were even fasting, but they weren't fasting correctly. And in the passage, they began to do is they fasted, and then they didn't get their prayers answered. Well, guess why the prayers didn't get answered? And he said, why are we fasting, God? We're fasting, you're not answering our prayers. And God says, why do you think I would answer your fasts when you're not doing it like I want you to do it? It is an immoral half in. And even in their fasting, they're being immoral. And and when a nation or society or culture becomes immoral, one of the things that happens is people begin to do spiritual things for bad reasons. And when you do spiritual things for bad reasons, if the only reason you have a prayer life is you can pray for the people you hate to die, okay, you're probably really not going to know the joy of having a good prayer life. And God is probably not going to answer your prayers because there's no nobility and good reason and motivation behind your prayers. And they were fasting there, and they were actually disgusted at God because he's not answering their fast, but they were even fasting for immoral things. And so there's a wrong way to fast, is the first lesson from this chapter here and for the passages we'll read. Number one, there's a wrong way to fast. First of all, a fake fast where you still find pleasure. Verse 3, wherefore have we fasted, they say, and thou seest not? So they're saying, why have we fasted and God doesn't see? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fasts, ye find pleasure and exact all your labors. I knew someone, well, in other words, when somebody fasts in the Bible, and I can't turn to all the passages, but we'll turn to a couple of them, Daniel and maybe Nehemiah or Ezra. But when people fasted, they were completely afflicting themselves. They were almost saying, okay, I am miserable for 3 or 4 days. Now they were doing that in order to say, God, this is important, but they're afflicting themselves. Now, and they were setting the time aside, and they wouldn't eat any pleasant bread. They wouldn't take, many times, they wouldn't take care of themselves. They wouldn't wash, they wouldn't bathe. They'd rip their clothing. They'd throw sackcloth in their hair. It was a very intense of saying, I am afflicted and miserable and suffering, God. I am so distraught that I want no pleasure. I am totally, this is, my inside feels this. Now my outside feels this misery for what I is so wrong. Many times because of a national disaster or a national heartbreak or a death in a family or something where they want to say, God, I need you to do something and I want to get your attention with this. And they do that. Now when they fasted, they would say, okay, I'm not eating, but I'm going to go do a bunch of things I like doing. And they'd go out and they'd get busy and they'd work and they'd just do their life and they would go run around. I know people who fasted. They wouldn't eat any food, but they went out and ate a bunch of milkshakes so they wouldn't be hungry. We're kind of missing the point. I can do that kind of fast for a long time. Milkshake and Frappuccino fasts. I can do that for a real long period of time until I go crazy and crash and lose all emotional stability. But it says your fasting is not really, you're not really afflicting your souls. You're having pleasure during this time. You're having a time, you're messing around, you're doing what you want to do. Okay, you're not eating, but you're not really even sad. You're not afflicting your souls. You're not really losing out. It says, you in the day of fast, you find pleasure and exact all your labors. You do everything you're going to do anyway. You say, I'm fasting, but you know what? I'm still going to do this and this and this and this and this. Now, understand, most people in history didn't have to punch in. So they'd say, you know what? I need to go get this done, Lord. I'm not going to do it because I am fasting, letting you know I am afflicting my soul. And I'm not going to do the thing that he's done because it's just going to have to rot because I want you to know how miserable and how serious this thing is to me. And they were still doing a fake fast. Secondly, you can fast for the wrong reasons. And they fast for the wrong reasons. It says, verse 4, behold, ye fast for strife and debate and to smite with the fist of wickedness. We don't know exactly what they're fasting for. It doesn't elaborate here. But it looks like they're fasting in order. They were asking, my best guess from the wording here, is they're fasting in order to have God give them power to go hurt somebody or to make somebody else miserable or to inflict injury. God, please punish this person. Or God, please give me strength so I can win the battle against this person. And not in a good sense where they're David killing Goliath, but they had an enemy that they wanted to teach a lesson or their relative they didn't like or they wanted to go in and hurt somebody or get revenge on somebody. And they weren't fasting for anything noble. They were fasting for strife and debate, for conflict. And it looks like there was no nobility. They had no cause. They had no good reason to fast. Nehemiah wanted to see revival when he fasted. Daniel wanted a message from God. But they seemed to want to have they had the wrong reason here. Pride and anger and not humility, that it usually goes along with fasting. Second way you can fast wrong is firstly for strife and debate and evil motivation. Secondly, to be seen of men. Matthew 6 is a well-known passage on fasting. And verse 16, it says, "Moreover, when ye fast, be not so as the hypocrites of sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have the reward. But when thou fastest, anoint thine head with oil and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." It looks like when we hit New Testament fasting, Jesus puts us in a little different set of mind here, because in the Old Testament, they would fast with sackcloth and ashes. They put on a terribly uncomfortable piece of clothing that was raw and would rub your skin, and they'd put sackcloth, they'd throw ashes in their head, and they'd rip their clothes, and they'd weep publicly. But Jesus says, when you fast now, because the kingdom, as we've talked about before, the kingdom is such an internal thing. He says, God will see when you fast. So you go when you fast, and don't let anybody know you're fasting. He says, wash yourself, because the hypocrites, the Pharisees probably, would go and fast, and then say, "Oh, I'm so hungry. I've been fasting for 5. Did you get that? 5 days. And oh, I haven't eaten." And they did it so everybody would say, "Boy, you are so spiritual." They did it to be seen of men. And the Bible says, you do not fast to be seen of men. As a matter of fact, do it in secret, and you'll be much more spiritual. And your Father will say, "Wow, you did this for me. Nobody even knew you were fasting." And it says, cleanse yourself, do all the things you need to do, because God says, "I will see it." And you just go on like you're not doing anything. And that's the way to fast now. And we see that. So you need to be discreet, and you hide it. You don't need to do that. Now, it's hard sometimes. When I fast, I have to tell my wife I'm fasting, because she cooks all my meals. And I come home and she says, "Look at this beautiful meal I cooked." And I said, "I'm not eating. That's just not good. She's gonna know anyway then, isn't she?" So I have to tell her anyway. And then she can just throw the kids cereal and whatever she wants to do, and save the good food for me. And when I'm done fasting, when I fast, I tell her, but it's not to be seen of men. That's not my motivation. So I can tell my wife I'm fasting. Inevitably, when I fast, somebody's going to offer me my favorite food. It's inevitable. Somebody's going to walk up and say, "Pastor, I got this extra Mr. Goodbar. Would you like it?" Now, I'll take it and stuff it somewhere and eat it in 3 days or whatever. But sometimes you have to tell people, "No, I try to avoid it." I say, "No, that's okay. Not right now." And then you got the pushy people. "Oh, why not? Really? How about this? No, really, I want to give it to you." And then you got to say, "I'm not eating right now. But I'm not doing it. And so I'm not going to lie. But I'm going to try to avoid telling them, because people will offer you the food and they want to take you out to lunch and all those things. And why is it that people who I'll know for 5 years will never take me to lunch until I'm fasting? And then all of a sudden they want to take, "Hey, Pastor, what's your favorite restaurant? I want to take you out to lunch." Rain check. Because we don't want to be seen of men. We want to do it for the right reasons, and that's to let God see it. Back to Isaiah 58, and I'm still there. Isaiah 58. Number one, we said there is a wrong way to fast. Number two, fasting is to afflict your soul. And they knew that. They said in verse 3, "Wherefore we fasted, they say, and thou seest not. Wherefore we afflicted our soul." Verse 5, "Is it such a fast as I have chosen a day for a man to afflict his soul?" So God responds back, "Is this the fast I've chosen that you're doing?" No. A fast is to afflict your soul, and so it's known in the Bible that's what they did. Isaiah 69:10 says, "Fasting, I've chastened my soul through fasting." Chasten means spanking, discipline through fasting. So we see the discipline through fasting, and so fasting does afflict your soul. It's pretty simple. If I could simplify what fasting does to God, is it says, you say, "God, I need this, God, I need this, God, I need this." God says, "Okay, I hear that." And all of a sudden, fasting says, "Lord, I really, really need this." Listen, I love to eat. I just like eating. Eating is a pleasure to me. Some people eat because they have to, and some people like eating. I'm one of those liking eaters. I gotta be careful or I will get fat. if I'm not careful. If I'm not careful, I will, what are you laughing about? But if I'm not careful, I'll get fat because I like to eat. When I go and start fasting from food, God knows it's serious. And God says, really? Wow. You're pretty serious about this, aren't you? It gets God's attention because you afflict your soul. It's you also saying sometimes to God, I am so sorry. This is miserable and this is wrong. And I want you to know I'm going to suffer for this myself because I want you to know how upset I am about this. And it's saying to God, this is serious. That's what they did many times. The nation is very immoral. And they got right with God. They'd say, we're proclaiming a fast and letting God know we're afflicting our souls. And they would proclaim it as a nation many times. I'll read a couple verses on this. Joel has a couple fasts. Again, I got a lot of verses that are all over, and we won't have time to get to all of them, but Joel chapter 1 and verse 14, sanctify a fast. And this is God telling them to do something. And call a solemn assembly. Gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God and cry unto the Lord. So in other words, you need to set aside and have a fast time because of what you've done as a nation. This is chapter 2, verse 15. Blow a trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly. And Ezra chapter 8, verse 21, when they realized that the people were mixed and immoral and everything in their immorality and marrying with immoral people and all the things they had done wrong, he says, we're going to call for a fast as a nation. And so it is proclaimed. In other words, they're saying, Lord, we are serious. We are suffering. I'm a huge sports fan, and my favorite sport is college football above all sports. In college football, you have it, in college basketball and other sports, when they cheat, they get sanctions. For example, if you pay a player, the team will get reduced scholarships, and they won't be able to go to a bowl game and things like that. When a team, when the NCAA, the overseeing of all college athletics, when they come in and they give you sanctions, you're in big trouble because they'll hit you really hard. And they'll even close down your program totally, where you can't even play football or basketball or whatever. They'll even do that. They call it the death penalty. What generally happens is in college sports, when all of a sudden you found out, oh no, we had a booster who's been doing the $100 handshake with a bunch of players. What they'll do before the NCAA comes in and investigates them and they give them sanctions, they'll have self-imposed sanctions. And they will say, we are going to fire our coach. And we are going to not allow this booster on campus anymore. And we are going to reduce by 3 scholarships we're allowed to give out for the football team. And they'll have self-imposed sanctions. They do that because it'll be less than what the NCAA gives them for sanctions. And usually NCAA comes in and says, all right, we'll take that. And then they won't go through the whole process of investigating and deciding punishment, and they'll accept their sanctions and not go any farther than the college already did. That is kind of what fasting does sometimes with God. And say, Lord, we have been immoral, we've been terrible, we've been wrong. Lord, I am calling a fast, and I'm going to tell you that I really feel that this is terrible and this is wrong. So the two reasons you fast, one, to get God's attention. Overall, it's to afflict your soul and humble your soul, and to chasten your soul, discipline your soul. So it can be either, one, to get God's attention to say, I am suffering for this, God, it is that big a deal. Or two, Lord, I am suffering because we've been wicked. I want you to know we feel terrible about this. And we are transferring that all the way to physically, we feel terrible about this. I want to say this, it's very easy to say, I'm sorry. And then just move on. And not have a real repentance. We see that so many times in so many ways where somebody says, okay, I'm really sorry for doing this, but really they're not sorry. They're just sad they got caught. They do it in jail sometimes. They do it with their wife sometimes. They do it with their husband sometimes. When all of a sudden, I'm sorry because I got caught. But a lot of times you find out if they're really sorry by affliction. They have a penalty to pay. They have some suffering to go through for this thing. And if they're not willing to go through this suffering, which is probably less than they deserve, then they're probably not really sorry. I find when I visit someone in jail and they've done something wrong, and when they're complaining about the police, I find out they're going to repeat again. or if they're complaining about their parents. Well, if my parents wouldn't raise me like this, I wouldn't have done this. They're not really sorry. If they're griping about the law, they shouldn't put me, they shouldn't lock me up for this, I'm really a good person, I got things I need to do on the outside, then you're not really sorry. You did something wrong. You deserve to suffer for it. And affliction, self-infliction sometimes, says, God, I am not gonna enjoy food for a day because I was so wrong that I did that. You can do that. Now, I want to say this, you are never commanded in the Bible to fast. Fasting is voluntary. That's why it gets God's attention. Because you don't have to fast. You can pray and pray and pray about something and never fast about it. But I do think, because God leaves it voluntary, it does, exclamation point, Lord, this is important. You want to see your relatives saved? Lord, I'm fasting for it. And it's really a powerful thing. It says, Lord, we are serious. In fasting, it can be in many areas. Daniel chapter 9, verse 3, Daniel goes without a whole bunch of things. He goes without food, but he goes without pleasant drink. And and many times they go with uncomfortable clothing and a sackcloth and ashes. And he wouldn't wash himself. He didn't anoint himself with oil. He said, I'm going without all the pleasures of my day. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, the reference is chapter 7, verse 5. It says a husband and a wife cannot be intimate with each other for a season if it's agreed upon to fast. Okay? So husband and wife can fast from physical intimacy, among other things. But it's got to be agreed to, so they're not just going without. In other words, a couple should be very physically intimate a lot. Because when it's a fast, it's noticed. Couples should be very affectionate. That's biblical and it's important. And it can be in all kinds of areas. So you can fast in all kinds of things. So you can go and all of a sudden say, you know what? I love listening to the radio more than I like eating. Maybe you can go on a radio fast. I love watching TV. I love watching sports. I got to get God's attention. Okay, you can skip the Seahawks game. Maybe that's torture for some of us to watch the Seahawks. Oh, no, they're going to lose again. They've been winning lately, but I'm going to go without that thing. You don't go without spiritual things. You don't say, I'm going to fast and read my Bible. That would be foolish. That wouldn't get God's, God would not be impressed. But you know what? You can say, I'm going to fast my coffee. Forget that. You can't do that. This is Seattle. We can't go without coffee for a week. But you can say, I'm going to fast from whatever. What do you like? You can say, God, let me get your attention. Let me get your attention, God. Maybe you're a really social person. And you can fast from hanging around your friends. You could fast from the internet. That one about as good as coffee. What would people think I died if I didn't update my Facebook every 16 seconds? You can fast from things. You can find something that's important to you, and you can not do it. And you can go show God that it's important to you. Next, fasting brings results. Back here in Isaiah 58, fasting brings great results. I am always... and. You'd think I've done this thing long enough, and it shows I don't fast enough, and it shows that my memory's not very good. Every time I fast, I'm always stunned how quickly I get results. Every time. It's like, you know what? I have been bothered with this forever, and this has got to happen. And all of a sudden, I'll fast, and like, boom. I'm like, wow, I should have fasted before then. It always surprises me how fast you get results. And it does a bunch of things in your life. I'll read in Isaiah 50 a bunch of things. But Jesus, his disciples couldn't cast out a demon that was very entrenched in a child. And his disciples came to Jesus and said, why could not we cast him out? Because the disciples couldn't, they brought him to Jesus, Jesus cast him out. And Jesus said, this kind cometh forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. And there's a certain level of battle of thing that's so powerful that there is no other way to conquer that thing but through fasting. And this kind cometh forth by nothing by prayer and fasting. So there's a certain thing, there are certain levels of fasting bring results that nothing else brings. Now Isaiah 58 is going to tell us what fasting does in your life. And we'll go through this passage in verse 6 because it brings great results. It gets God's attention. Verse 6, is not this a fast that I have chosen to loose the bands of wickedness, There's the first one right there. Fasting will unloose the bands, the binding, the rope, the tying up of wickedness. You have a wickedness that you want broken in your life? Fast about it. Fast about it. You'll find the strands start breaking apart. You loose the bands of wickedness. Undo the heavy burdens. So heavy burdens, you have heavy burdens in your life? Fast about them. Yeah, you can just see a list of things here. Break the bands of wickedness, to break bonds, to undo the heavy burdens and let the oppressed go free. Now, there's a little different. You know somebody else who's oppressed with bands of wickedness or who's under bondage of sin? Fast for them. You can undo your own bands of wickedness, but you can fast for somebody else to be set free. And boy, what an impressive thing. I almost think sometimes that if I all of a sudden wanted to fast for somebody, I almost think that would be acceptable to God to go up and tell them, I'm fasting for you to be set free. Because I wouldn't be doing it for the wrong reason. Now, I'm not saying you should. I'm not saying I'm sure about that. But boy, wouldn't that affect you if you found out someone is fasting for you to be set free? Or maybe tell them afterward, you know, I fasted for you when they're set free. But fast for somebody and do that. Got to make sure I get through this. I want to give you a couple caveats to fasting. Next, to get help, to get what you need to help others, to help the needy, and that you break every yoke. Verse 7, is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? Remember he said you fasten for wicked things, but he says, isn't fasting to get bread to the hungry? Listen, one of the things that many people say, and it's very common with good people, like we have an Open Door, is, Pastor, I wish I could help people more. I wish I had more money. I could help people. I hear about them. Their utilities are off, or they don't have their rent. The Bible says, is not a fast to get bread to feed the hungry? Maybe you fasting and going without some food for a while will get God's attention to give you what you need to help somebody else. Fasting for them to have food, fasting for their needs, fasting for money so you can give to missions, fasting for money to buy things that need bought. And so that would be great. You can get it. It says to help the needy, that thou is not to deal bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to my house. When thou seest a naked, thou shalt cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. And so you see, obviously, he says you can go and help the needy by fasting. And it is, we generally don't see the hungry. We see the hungry in America, occasionally the homeless person. But when I say this, most of the homeless people you see are overweight. That's just the truth. Around the world, you see hungry people. When I was in Haiti, I did not see a pudgy person for 9 days. Not a one. And no fat people, of course, because there. And by the way, I was tall for a Haitian. Most Haitians are shorter than me, but if you see an American Haitian, they're very big and strong and strapping, because they're Africans that are undernourished. Haitians are from Africa, and they should be built like an African-American, but they're undernourished there. And I talked to the people I know there, and they have these orphanages, and there's one pastor, I just grabbed my arm, and he says, I've got all these kids here. Do you have any? I have no food for them today. And just, they see the need right there in front of them. I mean, if your neighbor kids really didn't have food and you really didn't have food to feed them, they really were hungry and really were malnourished and skinny. In all my years of working with the poor in America, and it's been a lot of years and every week of my life, I've seen one family was malnourished, and that's because dad drank everything. He sold the food stamps. He did everything. Dad drank everything away, and we had to literally buy food and bring it to their house. We couldn't get them nourished any other way. But that's pretty rare. That's pretty rare. And it's amazing when you see American kids that are really hungry. They're not picky anymore. Whatever you bring there is good food. And so we see that the fasting to help people, instead of saying, boy, I wish I could, why don't you go to God and say, God, give me the ability. And then fast for it. God might be able to do something with that. Next, verse 8, for your own health. Then shall the light break forth as the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily. Thy health shall bring forth speedily. For your own health. Fasting, first of all, helps your health. It doesn't help your health if you're Haitian, okay? You need the nutrition. You need the calories. It helps our health. You and I have got so much processed junk in your body. You've got so many impurities in your body, you would not believe it. But, real simple, you want to see how many impurities in your body? Fast for one day and look in the mirror the next morning at your tongue. Your breath will incredibly stink and your tongue will be coated with white stuff. And in that first day, you're going to get an incredible headache. You know why? Because your body's getting rid of impurities and you have a bunch of addictions. Now, I have no what you would call addictions. I don't smoke, drink, chew. I don't do any of that stuff. But I've got things that just in our food, there is a bunch of things in your food that they put in everything that when you don't have them, you'll find out you're addicted to them with your headache. Sugar, caffeine, wheat, a bunch of things that's in everything. You'll find out a lot of us, we're addicted to cholesterol and grease. That's why you always want fast food. It's because we're addicted to that stuff. When it goes out of your system, you get this incredible withdrawal headache. And people tell me, I can't fast, I get headaches. So do I. I used to. Once I fasted, after about the fifth or sixth fast, my body got used to not having all the junk in it, and it can handle it. And so it's not a new experience for it. So it says, okay, I don't got this junk in there. I'm not going to get this junk. Usually it's sugar and caffeine, but it can be other things. But it'll help your health. Why? Your impurities start coming out of your body. And especially if you keep drinking water, you flush all kinds of junk that's built up in your system. And there's a lot of junk in all of our systems because everybody eats processed food. And by the way, I'm not a health freak. I eat junk food. It doesn't matter. Unless you're going to spend a gazillion dollars on all organic stuff, it's almost impossible to really eat completely healthy and not have junk in your system. You ought to do the best you can, keep yourself healthy and keep your temple good, but you cannot do it 100% without spending a lot of money and taking a lot of time because there's just junk everywhere and everything. Even the stuff that says good for you, if you think healthy choice and things like that has not got a bunch of processed stuff that's not good for you, it does. Now, it might be better. It's better to eat 300 calories than 3,000. Understood. But I'm just saying you're going to have a lot of junk, and so it helps your health, and it starts burning away junk, and it starts flushing your system. And so fasting is good for your health. You'll find your health better. You'll find out after you eat the next time, you'll find yourself with a spring in your step. You'll find that fasting helped your system. And so it helps your health. And by the way, brush your teeth a lot when you fast because the impurities come out in your mouth and your tongue and your breath smells terrible. It just does when you fast. Next, be surrounded. When you fast, you are surrounded by the light and by the Lord. Verse 8, then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. And the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. That means God's presence and righteousness will be in front of you. God's presence will be behind you. And your light will shine forth. In other words, you became a great shining light with God's presence around you. You're safe. You're protected. You're blessed. God's going before you and preparing your way. And it brings a lot of blessings. Next, you get your prayers answered. Verse 9, then thou shalt call and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry and he shall say, here I am. Wouldn't that be great? When you pray, God says, here I am. It says that's when you fast. Fasting gets your prayers answered in a different sort of way. Next, you get the guidance of the Lord. Verse 11. It says, and the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought. God will guide you. Boy, it looks like fasting brings a lot of extra bonuses in the spiritual life. A lot of opportunities. Now, let me say a couple things about fasting. First of all, if you've not fasted, you will find out what I just said is true. You get a terrible headache. And you'll find yourself exhausted because your body runs on sugar and caffeine and a bunch of stuff. It burns up a bunch of things that are bad burning up things. So if you can, fast, you don't have to work hard physically the first time. If you have a day off, if you have or whatever. Secondly, I do not recommend that you go on a fast without drinking something at first. Very simply, your body is amazing and adapts to whatever situation. That's why you can find a person in the middle of the desert who drinks very little water. If you drink as much water as them, you get dehydrated very quickly. You drink a lot. And I drink a lot. I drink so much water, you wouldn't believe how much I drink throughout a day. I drink. So your body burns up those fluids very quickly because it knows it's going to be always getting them. If you go without fluids, you will get dehydrated very quickly. Faster than a person who in Bible times in the Middle East would get dehydrated. They had to go to the well. So they didn't drink as much, so their body didn't burn it as fast. So I recommend you go on a drinking fast. I recommend your first fast, I would probably, if I were you, I would go without food and I would drink juices and water. Because you will have enough energy if you drink some juices and your mind will be sharp enough because you will go brain dead in about 14 hours. And you won't be able to think. If you have to work, you should drink juices or something. Otherwise, you go brain dead. Now, after you fasted a few times, your body gets used to it, and you do this, you can go without eating or drinking. But you do what Jesus and Moses did, 40 days with no drinking or eating, you're dead. You can't do it. You can go find, I know pastors, I know some men of God who fast for 40 days without eating, but they drink. And they say, I am completely useless the last week, I can't think. I talked to one of them one time, and I could have talked to a 2-year-old and gotten more out of them. Their brain didn't work. There wasn't enough stuff for the energy to go through. So be careful. Do not go on a no drinking, no eating fast the first time unless you're going to be in the wilderness. You don't have to deal with anybody, and you have an emergency supply of water there. And then when you get on fasting, the first time I fasted, I thought I was going to die. I was about 16 years old. I thought I was going to die. And I was so hungry, if you would have given me a hunk of wood right then with a little salt, I'd have eaten it. I mean, I was hungry. And I went, and at midnight, my fast is over. And I go, that's a dumb time, by the way. I go breakfast to breakfast when I fast. That way I can eat in the morning, I can still function. I'm miserable the rest of the day, and the next morning I can function again. That's usually the best way to fast for me, if I'm going one day. But I went, and at midnight I fasted, and at 11:30 I started cooking. And I cooked a feast. It looked like Thanksgiving, man. I cooked this, I cooked that, I cooked that, I cooked this. I cooked so much stuff. I had this feast ready to go. And then I started eating. But your stomach, what it does, it tries to find something. It gets smaller and smaller. When you get done fasting, you will get so full. And I like, what am I going to do about the rest of this food? Because I couldn't eat very much because my stomach had shrunk down. By the way, it wouldn't hurt some of us to have our stomach shrink down. Remember when you didn't have to eat 14 hamburgers and 3 supersized fries to get full? It wouldn't hurt for some of us to have our stomach shrink down. But when you eat, be a little careful afterwards. You might engorge yourself and be hurting pretty bad when you're done. Chew, and it'll help you. And do that. If you do these things, you'll find out God will begin to work. And if 5 of you began to fast for this ministry, great things would happen because fasting gets God's attention. Fasting. The power of proclaiming a fast, it's a good thing. And let's make sure that we use fasting as this great spiritual tool for doing great things and getting the victory for the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the chance to teach your word. I pray that we'd fast and we'd know how to fast and we'd do it right. And we see these great results from fasting. Thank you that you show us how in your word. And thank you, Lord, that you're so good to us that you let us voluntarily show you how important something is to us. In Jesus' name, amen.